Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 21. This chapter is about the short-lived reign of Jehoram, a young and wicked king. And this chapter begins in chapter 1 by saying, Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, and Jehoram his son reigned in his place. He had brothers, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariah, Michael, and Shephatiah. Remember, biblical big book of baby names. Keep it handy. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel. Their father gave them great gifts of silver, gold, and valuable possessions together with fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. When Jehoram had ascended the throne of his father and was established, he killed all of his brothers with the sword and also some of the princes of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord was not willing to destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and since he promised to give him a lamp to him and his sons forever. First off, it's important to know that the book of Chronicles is different from the book of Kings for a few reasons. First, Chronicles spans the entire spiritual history of the nation of Israel, tracing the lineage through the genealogies in the first few chapters back to the Garden of Eden. Second, it picks up the narrative cycle with King David. But when the kingdom splits into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, Chronicles leaves the northern kingdom of Israel behind in its narrative and only tells the story of the southern kings of Judah, because after all, that's where the remnant that returns back to Israel comes from. That's why the verse about God not wiping him out is so important. Remember, we've spoken at length in these last few chapters about covenant faithfulness, God keeping his promises, even keeping it to Jehoram's ancestor David, because God always keeps his word. And this was because when the writers returned from the exile in Babylon, they needed to be reminded that these promises that God made to David were still true. In fact, the only reason we see God allow the kingdom to be completely stripped away during the 400-year silent period between the two testaments is because he was about to replace it with a heavenly kingdom, and he needed to strip away the physical kingdom so that they could begin to picture the everlasting and eternal kingdom promised in heaven. In verses 8 through 10, we're also told that Moab rebelled against Jehoram and breaks off from every subjection to the kingdom of Judah. Slowly, in this book, the reign of each and every evil king, we begin to see slowly the kingdom breaking apart into nothingness. At one stage, all that is left is Jerusalem, huddled up behind the walls as a city fortress, still trying to hold out against the judgment of God exercised through the wrath of man. And yet, all throughout it, God continues to send his prophets, giving them a chance to repent. Certain kings in Chronicles hasten the destruction, and Jehoram was one of those. Others, like Asa or Asa, depending on how we're going to pronounce that together, Asa actually prevented and held off the destruction that was coming. When the sign said, danger ahead, bridges out, Jehoram put the pedal to the metal and accelerated himself and the nation faster towards its approaching doom. As the passage had said earlier, God made a covenant to keep a lamp lit in Judah, and he would, whether men used it to see by or not. But verse 11 says, moreover, he made high places in the hill country of Judah and led the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom and made Judah go astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord, God of David, your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your father, or in the ways of Asa, king of Judah, but have walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, remember the north, the pagan kings, and have enticed Judah into the inhabitants of Jerusalem into whoredom, as the house of Ahab led Israel into whoredom, and also you've killed your brothers of your father's house who are better than you, behold, the Lord will bring a great plague on your people, your children, your wives, and all your possessions. And you yourself will have a severe sickness with the disease of your bowels until your bowels come out because of the disease day by day. And the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the anger of the Philistines and of the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. And they came up against Judah, invaded it, carried away all its possessions they found that belonged to the king's house, and also his sons and wives, so that no son was left to him except Jehoahaz, his youngest son. And after all this, the Lord struck him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And in the course of time, at the end of 2 years, his bowels came out because of the disease, and he died in great agony. His people made no fire in his honor, like the fires made for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem, and he departed with no one's regret. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the tomb of kings. If you take our theme of covenant faithfulness, here's where the term whoredom becomes introduced to the book of Chronicles. Now, if you've got listening kids, you may want to hit pause for a bit until you can shelter your chillins, because this might be a bit sensitive information to their little ears, and it could save you some splaining to do like Ricky told Lucy. However, if you're under the persuasion that all of this is the Bible after all, and it's not an R-rated book, but has more of a PG rating, then perhaps you're under the persuasion that maybe this is in fact the place you ought to be having these conversations with your children after all. Perhaps the Bible is the source and context that these things should be learned from. Just a thought. Either way, I can't make parenting decisions for you, so I allowed you to make them. But I've stalled long enough for you to hit the pause button, so here goes. So in this passage, we have the concept of whoredom being introduced, which perfectly describes what happens when we align ourselves with idols. Contrast that with covenant faithfulness to God as a spouse, a love which grows, an understanding of how to better love somebody else over time, and finally, a commitment to solidarity of one person to fulfill our vow of love too. Now, whoredom, in contrast, is a predatory relationship in which each party preys on another person, each to get something. In the case of a man entering a brothel, he's looking not to cherish a female, but to use her sexually. He's looking to use one piece of her body, not appreciate and celebrate her mind, soul, interests, hobbies, memories, and the sum total of who she is. She, in contrast, is looking for money. This is the difference between idolatry and our relationship with God. In our walk with God, both people celebrate one another. The Lord delights in us and even rejoices over us with singing, to quote the Old Testament. But in whoredom, like idolatry, we use the idol to give some benefit, and in the end, it uses us up in return. Whoredom costs, and more than just money. It erodes character, integrity, self-respect, and so much more. God justly punishes Jehoram by cursing him with the disease of his bowels, resulting in a prolapsed sphincter in which his intestines turned inside out and eventually just fell out of his butt. In one way, this was a fitting picture of what's happening to the kingdom, and another picture of what was happening to Jehoram and anyone who chooses a lifestyle that's foul and against God's design for life. Eventually, your soul and other valuable things just start to leak out. And on that happy note, I'll see you tomorrow.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.